Hear Psalm 4. These are the very words of God to us. Psalm 4. To the choir master with stringed instruments, a psalm of David. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. O men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? Selah. But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent. Selah. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. In peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Let's pray. Father, these words are words of life to us. We pray now that we will meditate on them, listen to them, and enjoy the grace that you've given us in Christ. We pray these things now in Christ's name. Amen. I really appreciated Mr. Kinney's intent last week when he said that he was going to connect the Psalms to Christ, and especially Psalm 1 to Christ. I think that's critical for us to remember that. And it's my desire to do that today as well. Our Lord and Savior is why we are here today. And when he preached last week, he looked a lot dressier with a jacket on. And that's why I said, hey, you know, what's it going to look like next week? So just for the record. When David composed this psalm, he was probably on the run from Saul. And he was surrounded by many wicked and cruel enemies. He even says that these men, these enemies, had turned his honor into shame. He says that in verse 2. Well, how had they done that? These enemies had turned from God to serve idols. These enemies had mocked him personally, and they had invented lies against him. These enemies mocked his beliefs. They mocked his faith. And they even mocked his God. Does this sound familiar? Does this feel a little familiar? Now, we're not David, but I do feel like we're sometimes surrounded by enemies. Do you ever feel like you're mocked for your beliefs? Or mocked for your faith? We're living in a time and a place where being a Christian is getting to be quite uncomfortable. Our country has rejected God. Our country has embraced perversion. And our country is obsessed with destruction. And I could go on and on and on. Financial, cultural, moral destruction. And so I would assert that Romans 1 is here for us and for our country. And maybe it's always been there, but we are much more aware of it now. Because again, like I said, it's getting very uncomfortable to be a Christian these days, where before it was comfortable, right? In our country today, it's ungodliness. It's paganism. The culture hates God. It rejects Christ. It hates the family. It hates the Bible. It hates church. And it fears, I think it fears the truth. What we see today is sins that in the past were considered shameful, homosexuality, adultery, they're not only tolerated today, but they're encouraged. and even praised today. The people have, in the words of Isaiah 5:20 called evil good, good evil, put darkness for light, and light for darkness. What makes it worse, if we, and we should, as Christians, stand up and we say, light is light, dark is dark, or better yet, what you are doing is sinful. If we say that, then we're now labeled haters. We're labeled the bad guys. We're the extremists. We're the lawbreakers. We're the unloving. For calling truth, truth. What is truth? Pilate asks. And so we, I would say, like David, are surrounded by many wicked and cruel enemies. You've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And those are words from our Lord Jesus. From Psalm 4 today, this is the example for us and what I want you to remember and internalize. In Psalm 4, there's really three commands. Number one, pray. And these are not profound or life-changing. These are probably obvious, but we need to hear these reminders. Number one, pray. Number two, preach the gospel to an unbelieving world and to yourself. And then number three, rest. And we're going to look at those in a little bit more detail in Psalm 4. When you pray, remember to meditate upon the promises of God. It's tough when we're weighed down by adversity or surrounded by this culture. But remember the goodness of God and what He's promised to each of us. Preach the gospel. We can and should address our enemies and our culture confidently, telling them of the good news. Christ saves sinners. Amen? Christ saves sinners. Christ makes all things new. He changes hearts, He changes cultures, and He makes enemies His friends. And then rest. We too can know rest in the peace that comes by putting our faith in a Savior who has and will triumph over everything, neighbors and enemies. And that was a long-winded introduction. But now let's start looking at the psalm in detail. Let's look at verse 1. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. David speaks first to God. Why does he do that? Because he's wise. He knows first that he is a son of God, and he looks to his Father for counsel. If we need help, if we need strength, if we need wisdom, where should we look? The internet? We would be better served by time with our Lord in prayer and with His Word than time spent with the world's offerings by far. 1 Corinthians 3:19 puts it like this, for the wisdom of this world is folly with God. It is written, He catches the wise in their craftiness. When I was studying through this, the question I asked myself is, and he asserts, you've given me relief when I was in distress. He says that in the first part of verse 1. And so I asked the question, and this is in your notes, How does God give us relief in our distress? That would be really good to know. That would be comforting. One way is through prayer, and that's what David is doing here. We just talked about that. And that's something we should do and do regularly. No surprise. Isn't there also relief in coming each Sunday to Crossroads Church to be with the people of God and worship our Lord here together? Isn't this worship a relief from the trials of the world? A refuge against the craziness that is out there? The answer is yes, right? Absolutely. Mr. Kinney preached on Psalm 1. This is Psalm 4. Maybe somebody will do Psalm 2. In Psalm 2, it talks about the lordship of Christ. One thing you can extract out of that and other places in the Bible, and you know this, politics are temporary. Nations are temporary. Things are temporary. What's not temporary is if you were to look around here right now and see the people here today. This is the interactive part of the sermon. You look around and see everybody here. These are eternal people, right? Long after the United States has come and gone, we will still be eternal. I was going to have you touch the person next to you. I thought that would, maybe that's a little too interactive, you know, not in a non-weird way. And you still can if you want to. Just know people are eternal. It's an eternal church. In verses 2 through 5, David moves from praying to facing his enemies. I called this public conflict, though I wish I had changed it better to preach the gospel, because that's what he's doing. He's doing it to his enemies, and we need to do it to ourselves. He does so wisely, and his words are actually quite kind. Let's read through them now, verses 2 through 5. O men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? Selah. Know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent. Selah. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. If his enemies had been at all reasonable, if our enemies were at all reasonable, they would listen to these words. If they would just think about it, these are words of life. But they didn't. And they don't. David urges them to cease from sin. And he actually, in verses 4 and 5, talks about four ways to follow the path to light. They're a call to repentance for all of us, for all non-believers and believers. Our enemies should do these things, but so should we. First, in verse 4, be angry and do not sin. It's okay to be angry. In fact, I would argue we have to be angry with certain things. We should be angry with sin. Wicked people do wicked things. And you know what? Not a surprise. Sometimes Christians do wicked things. The answer is not to fight sin with sin. I pulled some examples from the news. We're angry with abortion. This is for us as believers. We're angry with abortion. Is it sinful to blow up abortion centers? Yes. We're angry with paying taxes. Is it sinful to refuse to pay unjust taxes in our country that are used for some very ungodly things? Yes. It's sinful to refuse to pay unjust taxes. We're angry with masks. Is it sinful to not wear a mask?
I have no idea.
Ask Pastor Tim. Do remember, God is very angry with the wicked every day, and He is the judge. Every sin will be punished. Do not doubt it. And that's why we hope in Christ, right? Who forgives all sins. Second, in verse 4, ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent. We live in a very noisy world. We live in an age of distraction. Life has gotten louder, chaotic, and more disruptive. And I ask myself, and maybe you do this, is silence even possible, right? Without trotting off to the mountains somewhere, can you even get silence anymore? One writer I read, he compares our modern plugged-in life with all our gadgets like to hanging out at Chuck E. Cheese's, which I think is great. My kids didn't even perk up when I said Chuck E. Cheese's. Normally they would have. If you've ever been there, and I certainly hope you have because it is well worth going to, there's a lot of kids running around, slapping buttons, moles are whacked, very scary. There's spinning wheels, lights are flashing everywhere. You see a lot of people stuffed into very tiny booths eating really bad pizza, right? People who have been there know what I'm talking about. And then there's some crazy guy dressed as a mouse running around. I have no point with that. I just wanted to illustrate what Chuck E. Cheese is like. That is Chuck E. Cheese, and if you think, yeah, that's my life, it's hard to find some quiet time, then maybe you should find some quiet time. I also read, and this was a surprise to me, especially since I work in technology, the average American spends 11 hours a day staring at a screen. That was a surprise. 11 hours a day. My whole point with this is if your life is 11 hours a day at a screen, or it resembles Chuck E. Cheese in any way, let's unplug and use some of that time for silence and for prayerful meditation. Remember the words of the psalmist, be still. This is Psalm 46:10. Be still. Be still. And know that He is God. Third, in verse 5, offer right sacrifices. Again from the psalmist, this is Psalm 51:17. What are the right sacrifices? Psalm 51:17 says the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken spirit. That means we recognize our sins and we confess them for what they are. We need to own our sins. No excuses. I like to make excuses. Maybe you do too. Get on your knees, not now, but when you're ready to confess, and if obviously, you know, if you can't physically get on your knees, spiritually get on your knees and tell the Lord what you've done. He already knows. It's not like you're going to surprise Him, right? Confess all your sins. Confess your pride, your unbelief, your dishonesty, your lies. Kids, for you, I'm really looking at mine, your disobedience to your parents. Confess it all and be cleansed by the blood of Christ. Confess it all. Verse 5, put your trust in the Lord. And this is key. Put your trust in the Lord. We all know, I hope we all know, the Lord Jesus is God's unbelievable gift, given to all who by faith receive Him. If you've never believed, and I don't know all of you in here, but if you've never believed, it's time. Put your trust in the Lord. If you've always believed, praise God, it's time. Keep trusting in the Lord. Keep trusting in the Lord. The gospel is this: the Lord Jesus has saved us by His agony and bloody sweat, by His cross and His passion, by His death and burial, and by His glorious resurrection and ascension. He saved us. you and me. And then the last section is perfect peace, verses 6 through 8. There are many who say, who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. In peace, I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. What I really want to emphasize here and point out is how he's able to lay down in peace and sleep. He trusts the Lord and he dwells in safety. This is a man who's on the run and being chased by Saul and an army. It feels tough, I think, to rest sometimes. The world's broken, and we know it's broken. God told us it was broken and is breaking under sin. It continues to break until the final time. I want to quote the greatest Christian artist of all time. And Tim, it's not Rich Mullins. Yeah. Finnan, it is not Newsboys. It's not even Slugs and Bugs, if you can believe that. It's actually Jars of Clay. Everybody knows that. Jars of Clay is the best, so I don't have to tell you that. But they have a great line in one of their songs that says, if the world was how it should be, maybe I could get some sleep. I just wanted to let everybody know what my favorite band was. Otherwise, I could have just said that. Like, if the world was how it should be, maybe I could get some sleep. I have trouble sleeping sometimes, especially these days. I lie awake, and maybe that's just me. Maybe it's you as well. And ask myself, what am I going to do when persecution comes? It feels to me like it's coming. I'm already starting to see this at my job. What am I going to do when I lose my job because of my Christian faith? What are we going to do if the church is closed? I think we all know in Canada that's a real thing. What are we going to do? Should we give up? Should we admit defeat? One thing you should know, maybe you know this and it's fascinating, is persecution, which is what may be coming, has actually been the reality for most of God's people through most of history. That's the norm for the church. Why? Because the kingdom of darkness has always hated the kingdom of light. It always has. So how do we get peace? How do we sleep? The answer is simple. It can be hard, but it's simple. We shine the light into the darkness. And we stay away from the darkness. Even better, Mark 1:15 makes it really clear. Tell yourselves every day, and everybody you meet, Mark 1:15. Every day. Which is, repent and believe in the gospel. That's our only hope in this life. It's our only hope in this life and in the one to come. Christ is our only hope. Christ is our only hope. But he's a beautiful, certain hope. Let's pray. Father, holy, holy, holy are you. You made the world, you made us, and nothing is outside of your control. Lord, we thank you for this psalm, Psalm 4, and the message it contains. Father, we want to pray, we want to preach the gospel, and we want to rest. And so, Lord, we pray for your Spirit to give us that faith, that we can trust in you more and more every day, that we don't have to worry about this crazy world. You love us. You have the best for us. And we will remember that every day. We will remember the gospel every day. Thank you for your Son, Lord, who makes all things new. who gave us life. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.